everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John, engineering and producing the show. As I posted on Facebook this morning, there are a lot of us from the foothills today that are very tired after being up till about 2 in the morning, just hammered by a monster storm, lasted 90 minutes or so, at least an inch of rain. Oh my goodness, that lightning was just incredible. How you doing today? It's Tuesday, August the 9th, 2022. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. Our telephone live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Today we resume our bi-monthly interview series presented by Pima Community College. This series introduces our listeners to the dedicated educators and supporters of Pima Community College. Well, the heavy metal band Metallica back in 2019 established something called the Metallica Scholars Initiative, known as All Within My Hands. And one of the recipients of the program is Pima Community College, welcoming now on our live line Denise Kingman. Denise is the Director of Employer Engagement and Career Services and the Office of Apprenticeship. In other words, she's head of workforce development at Pima. Hey, Denise, how are you?
Hi, doing great, thank you.
Tell me a little bit about this, the Metallica Scholarship Initiative. How many students so far has this helped at Pima?
We had our initial cohort last year, and we were able to fund 27 students with tuition assistance through this program, as well as help our learners receive safety equipment that they may need, so like goggles and work gloves. And then some of them, which include our IT or cybersecurity students, were also assisted by taking some of their necessary credentialing. So it's been pretty an amazing program. We're super excited to be a part of it for round two.
So I guess this All Within My Hands initiative works with the American Association of Community Colleges to provide direct support for career and technical education programs. So what does that translate, Denise, at Pima? What programs?
Yes, they work with us to support really a lot of our career and technical education programs, which traditionally have been referred to as trades. So we really are working to support and highlight the dignity of entering into professional trades programs. Some of those programs are actually super highly skilled, and they really lead to paying families sustainable wages, and that includes, as I mentioned, our cybersecurity programs, our automated industrial technology programs, welding, aviation, automotive, computer-aided design, just to name a few, as well as our built-in construction trades programs.
Have the employers been on board with this?
Oh, yes. We can't do this without the employers. That's something that we totally believe in. If we really want to, you know, impact our community and get the best for our learners, is having our employers work with us hand in hand. And we were super excited to have our employers jump on board. They wanted to be a part of this initiative. We call them the Metallica Scholars Employers, and we recognized them this past spring for their work. Just to name a few and shout out to those people that are really helping join us, is one is Green Valley Heating and Cooling. They're part of our apprenticeship programs and hire our students. Leonardo Electronics, they're another big supporter and work with us in our apprenticeships and really helped us through with this Metallica Scholars Initiative.
You know, do you know any of the history of this, you know, how a heavy metal group decided to get into the education area? Do you have any kind of background on that?
Yeah, some of the information they shared with us is that they're just really into, it's amazing when I say this, I always tell people, like, Metallica, yes, the rock band. but, you know, they established
wow.
this foundation, I know, and said, you know, we want to help communities, you know, build some sustainability in our communities. We want to help them build some workforce education. And they do this by, again, that trades are so necessary. We need more people going into them. We know that they're highly skilled. People can get amazing jobs with them. And there's something that you can do without getting a four-year degree. So this is really important.
And you said some of these students might not have been able to attend without some financial assistance, correct, without this Metallica program?
Correct. It has really opened up the doors and helped support people really get to that finish line. We really, on this grant, it's focused on the funding for this is really focused on students that are going to be completers, so people that are going to be completing their certificates and or degrees within a given time. And so this really helps them get pushed, you know, towards that finish line.
How are we doing in workforce development, Denise, in this community?
We are doing, you know, really well. I know there's a high need from our employers, so and they partner with us and look to us as, you know, the center of their community to help them really fill these important openings that they may have and fill these highly skilled positions. So we really work hand-in-hand with them. It's a center of our economic base, and so we really work to push what we do in the community outward. And we want to then make sure that our employers are coming into us, too, and working in partnerships. We do this many ways, not just from tapping into our current talent base, but being able to upskill incumbent workers that can come in and get training from us as well. And we also do this by really with something we've been promoting with this Metallica Scholars Program was building up our apprenticeship programs and really building earn and learn potential for our students and work-based learning opportunities so that allows them to earn wages while they are continuing their training.
You know, anybody who's taken their automobile in for service lately, I know, have run into problems like the service people will tell you, we just cannot hire enough skilled people in the back of the shop. In other words, to service the cars. What's Pima doing? They're kind of helping out, aren't they, to fill in some of these gaps?
Oh, we definitely are. If you haven't been out there, we have an amazing automotive innovation transportation building that we built, and it is really state of the art. And we built that not just on our own, but of course with input from our employers and our community. And so we are really working to build up that workforce for our employers and making sure that we all have what we need because we all need our car fixed. So we want to make sure that we have qualified people out there. And this is, again, what this All Within My Hands Foundation is doing. It's helping us bring in more learners. It's helping us help support them and get them to highly skilled positions.
Denise Kingman is with us. Denise heads up workforce development at Pima Community College, and there is such a need right now. There's we're hiring people sign just about in front of every business. You talked a little bit about automotive. Try getting a plumber these days. I mean, my goodness, there is a shortage of the in the plumbing field. And Denise, we're talking about really folks can make a really good living in some of these areas, right?
Yes, they can.
What kind of money are we talking about, even for like a plumber starting or even an automotive technician?
You know, they are going to vary, but, you know, you're going to start in, I'm going to say, mid-20s on up. It's really dependent on the employer. But that is, you know, like I said, for less than a four-year degree, some of these are certificate programs as well as associate degrees. People can really make some highly great paying jobs out of these. And so, not just that, a career, really where it takes you because you're going to have such a needed skill base.
So what would be the best place for people to find out more about some of these great opportunities that are available at Pima, Denise?
They can go to our website at pima.edu. They're welcome to email us at our careerservices@pima.edu email as well, and we're happy to help them and get connected any way that we can.
Now, are these programs operating at different times during the year, or is it kind of year-round, Denise?
We are open for business year-round, and mm-hmm. we offer a variety of credit as well as non-credit opportunities and as well as our micro-credentials and fast-track programs that can get people, you know, in the door and start getting them on some skill sets and getting them on their way. So we're here to meet the needs of various learners in the community. I would encourage everyone just to reach out to us, visit us on our website, go into one of our campuses, and talk to one of our student affairs people and let us get us started.
And there are financial opportunities available as far as aid, correct?
Yes, we do have. Our student affairs staff is going to be wonderful about, you know, being able to, share students what they need to do, applying for financial aid opportunities, as well as numerous scholarship opportunities, such as the Metallica Scholars Initiative.
All right. Learn something every day. That's why I do this program. I had no idea that Metallica, the heavy metal band, was offering these scholarships to community colleges around the country. I think it's a great program. Again, it's pima.edu for more information. Denise Kingman, thank you so much, Denise. Have a great day.
Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate the opportunity.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, and he has a wobbly thumb. He'll have to see an ortho person. No, just kidding about that. But it's a kind of a, such and such a day on the markets with the Wall Street. We'll see what's going on in a few minutes. Shelley, be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
This is John Trout. Start your day well informed and join me for America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5 before Wake Up Tucson on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
And here he is. Let's welcome Mr. Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you today?
I am well today. Bill, how are you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Rained on last night, eh?
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. You know, it's fun to look at the lightning and the light show and everything, but when it's in your backyard, it's pretty darn scary.
It sure is.
We've all been through that, though, yep. Here in Tucson summers. Okay, we're just talking with Denise at Pima about the job shortage. Skilled labor, wow.
Absolutely.
Young people, middle-aged people, whoever, maybe even senior people. You're looking for a new career, look at the trades.
Right. So let's put this in a little bit of context.
Okay.
The jobs report that came out on Friday was spectacularly good. 528,000 jobs created in July.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment rate came down from 3.6 down to 3.5%. It hasn't been that low since Jesus was a sergeant. So that's all good. What was interesting is that the participation rate fell a tick from 62.1% or down to 62.1% from 62.4%. So the number of people looking for work as a percentage of the entire working age population actually came down a little bit. And you'd say, gosh, that's a little bit disturbing. But here's the kicker. The employment rate for those in the 25 to like 59-year-old age category stayed solid. And it stayed that way now for months and months and months. And it's like at 84-point-something%. The movement was in the above 65-year-old category, which is baby boomers who are just retiring,
mm-hmm.
And in the 16 to 24-year-old category. Now, that's what we're talking about at Pima College.
Yes.
We don't know what those young people are doing. Mm-hmm. Are they staying home and playing computer games?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not getting summer jobs?
Yes.
And it is very difficult, in fact. We've seen any number of features on TV about, you know, the entry-level jobs in hamburger joints.
Or lifeguards.
Lifeguards,
exactly. The city of Tucson had trouble really getting enough lifeguards.
Right. So what are these 16 to 24-year-olds doing? I don't know the exact answer to that, but some of it, I think, has to do with what you were talking about in the first segment, which is young people going back to school
mm-hmm.
or taking advantages of some of the really great programs that are available.
Yeah, there are some terrific ones.
To increase their skills
mm-hmm.
so that when they go back, they don't have to sling burgers.
Yeah. Well, there are still tremendous job shortages out
right.
there, Shelley, and I think these numbers reflect that.
Absolutely. There are still two jobs available for everybody looking for a job.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the macroeconomic effect of that, Bill, is that companies that want to produce, that want to manufacture stuff, that want to sell their services, if they can't find people to fill those jobs, they have to cut back on what they produce or what they manufacture, or the number of hours available to service their customers. That is a problem for this economy. So some of the slowdown that we're seeing in GDP growth is because we're not filling those jobs. Now, you and I have talked about this before. In the short run, one way to fill those jobs is to encourage immigration, even just if it's summer immigration or green card mm-hmm. programs or guest worker programs, to bring people who want to come here in to fill those jobs, which will allow other people who are looking for jobs to continue to get the skills they need to get the $30,000-$35,000 entry level jobs that are available. This is something that is slowing down the economy. We are absolutely hurting because we are not allowing people into this country who want to work.
And we've talked about this before. How
yes.
are you going to fill the jobs to for the Build Back Better, all the money that has been now released for infrastructure in this country? There are going to, the need for people who are going to build these redos on the highways and the airports, those people right now aren't there.
Absolutely. And that's a medium term to longer term issue. And now you get me on one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah, about.
Which is we need a job corps.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have young people with either the obligation or certainly the strong incentive to get out of high school and go to work for a year or two in something that is going to be a government program, not necessarily the military,
mm-hmm.
That's available to just about everybody who has left high school. And in return for the training and the labor that they give for that year or two, they get essentially the GI Bill of Rights,
mm-hmm.
which then gives them the ability to use those benefits to go and continue their education and have the futures that they deserve to have for having done that. It also, Bill, at a time when this country is becoming more and more polarized, and it's not just polarization politically. I mean, we have segregated communities now, which were self-segregated. I mean, we're not doing it by
mm-hmm.
design,
mm-hmm.
but people are gravitating more to where the people that who are their neighbors are more
are
like
thinking,
them,
yeah,
thinking the same way.
So, thinking is the same.
Bringing people together as mm-hmm. colleagues,
yeah.
In jobs, they get exposed to each other. They get exposed to how they think, and the problem is made worse now because people are working from home.
Yeah.
So instead of working in offices where they are in effect forced, you know, smashing people together at different age groups and different mm-hmm. levels of training, we're not doing that. They're working from their computer screens at home. This is not the right way to build this economy and continue to grow a middle class. Our middle class, Bill, has not grown significantly in 40 years. They have not benefited from 40 years of growth. And that is, first of all, it's very discouraging for the middle class. It puts us under the thumb of a worldwide economy because it makes us dependent upon cheap imports for the consumer goods that the middle class buys every day. And so one thing after the other just tweaks the economy in the wrong way, tweaks the economy in the wrong way. And while I'm very optimistic about the future.
And you think the bear market's over.
Oh, I think the bear market's over. And I don't think we're in a recession. I don't think we're going to a recession anytime in the next year or two. But we're not making the policy decisions in this economy that are required to ensure that over the next 15 or 20 years, we get the performance out of the economy that we need to have.
This labor issue is huge.
Huge.
And I'm telling you, Shelley, I don't see it going away. I don't suddenly see here in the coming months that there will not be these job shortages.
We need a job corps. We need something that really
mm-hmm.
gets people moving in the right direction. And we need more immigration. And without that, this economy is going to continue to, you know, produce 1-2% growth a year. That might be okay. But again, that money, that growth, floats up to the top of the earners, and it doesn't flow down where it belongs to labor and the people who are actually producing that labor every day. And that long term is one of the three or four big headwinds this economy faces. If we don't deal with unequal, job pay, if we don't deal with the inequalities in the way we're compensating people for their work, the political stability of the country will suffer tremendously. It already has.
Well, Shelley.
Sorry,
I'll tell you.
I left us on a downer again.
No, but you know, when you think about it, the fundamental shift in America's labor market in the post-COVID years, and some could argue we're still in COVID, certainly it's there, and we're 2.5 years at least since the epidemic began. But look how it has changed, and we've only got a minute left.
Yeah, but Bill, you said it. You said it exactly right. Yeah. We're making some of the right steps to provide funding for infrastructure, for returning manufacturing here to the country, for even reducing the deficit, which I don't think is important, but some people do. But, you know, you can have all the funding you want to build stuff, but if there's nobody who is capable of doing the building, it's not going to get done.
Nope.
And that's the problem. You put your finger on it, and it's very important that we now take the next steps to put policies in place that can get these jobs manned. Or woman.
Okie dokie, Shelley. Always a pleasure. Hope you have a great week. And we'll see what the markets do. I've only got a few seconds, but there is an important inflation indicator coming out.
Yeah, this week we should get another inflation number. Most economists are expecting that the inflation will have tapered off somewhat. If it doesn't, then the markets will react badly because the Fed will then overstep again and probably go another 0.75 point.
Okie dokie. Thanks, Shelley. Have a great week.
Later.
Take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing,
custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We love green things, and the green things love the rain we've been getting. Green Things, 50-plus years in business over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site. Everything you could imagine for your garden, and garden accessories over at Zocalo, their sister business, which is on site. Some beautiful merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Well, the Oro Valley-based Tucson, the Tucson Valley, basically, Oro Valley and Tucson is home to the Western National Parks Association, and that organization has recently selected Marie Buck to serve as the chief executive officer. She was most recently the chief operating officer to the Grand Canyon Conservancy. The Western National Parks Association is a nonprofit education partner of the National Park Service. Marie, congratulations on your new job.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
It took a lot, I'm sure. You love the Grand Canyon to lure you away from one of the world's great wonders to come down to Tucson, but now you're kind of overseeing and promoting a lot of parks, right?
Absolutely. Over 71 parks in 12 different states in the Western USA. And so the way I look at it is we're impacting so many different people in an exponential way versus the Grand Canyon.
So as the partner to the National Park Service, what would your mission be?
So our mission is to enhance the visitor experience, whether it's through providing educational materials, interpretive services. We produce something we call retail with a purpose. So if you visit one of our sites and you go into a visitor center and you see like a little bookstore, all of our products are produced with an interpretive scope of sales, meaning a book has to meet the Park Service's special criteria around education, you know, and value to the visitor. So we really like to think we're enhancing that visitor experience when they go to any of our park monuments or historic sites.
And your shop in Oro Valley, it has just a tremendous selection, a very eclectic kind of sense of merchandise that really represents our region.
Absolutely. It's actually dangerous for me to go to the office because I want to buy something every time I'm there.
So what kind of condition are our parks in coming out of COVID? There's been a lot of renewed interest in visiting national parks. And in some cases, I've heard we're kind of loving some of the major parks to death.
Yeah, that's a really great question. Thank you for asking that. So, you know, our parks are coming out of COVID with staffing challenges like everyone else, you know, in the world, where the parks themselves don't have enough staffing to support their visitor centers. That's where we come in with our retail staff. We help supplement their teams, you know, and provide that information to the guests. You know, they're coming out, you know, there's funding issues within the parks. And again, that's where we step in. You know, and we're able to provide, you know, over $6 million a year, not only in direct cash, but indirect aid to the parks. And then also the parks are challenged by everything you see on the news today with global warming and the impacts, you know, those things are having on the parks.
Look what happened at Yellowstone.
Exactly. Or Death Valley.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, you've got Glacier, some of the most popular parks. You've got Olympia up in Washington, Glacier in Montana, Yellowstone, some of the iconic parks in Arizona. But there are parks that maybe some people have never even heard of.
Absolutely.
I mean, you just mentioned that there are 71 parks and national monuments in your portfolio. And how much that's That's a lot. I would not think there were that many.
Yeah, and if you think about Arizona, we have 17 parks just in Arizona alone. And quite honestly, I hadn't been to all of them yet, you know, mm-hmm. and I'm a park lover since, mm-hmm. you know, I was a little kid. But there's a park for everyone, whether it's a cultural site, whether, you know, it's a natural landscape or resource. It could be a historical landmark. There are a lot of smaller parks that have so much historical significance and value. It's just a matter of people finding them and getting to experience them. And when they go there, they don't have to fight the big crowds that you'll have at the iconic parks. It's a much more intimate experience.
Marie Buck is with us. Marie is the new chief executive officer for the Oro Valley-based Western National Parks Association. It's a nonprofit. Marie, education for young people about the parks is a real challenge. The kids are looking at the devices and they say, well, I've seen the parks. I saw the Grand Canyon on my little device, or I've seen this. You've got to have the parents who want to introduce the kids to the outdoors, and that can be a challenge.
Absolutely. One of the things that we offer at the different parks is our Junior Ranger program. And this is a really great interactive experience for kids. So if the parents bring their children to the park, they can pick up what's called a Junior Ranger book. And it's full of activities that the kids can do at each park. And it's specific to each park. So you could get a different book for every park. And when they complete those activities, they're sworn in as a Junior Ranger and they get a badge. And that is really creating a lifelong supporter of our parks, because what a cool experience that is. And when you talk about digital, you know, when we were in COVID and everything was shut down,
yeah.
we also made that available digitally so people could experience it that way.
So what about your own experience up at the Grand Canyon? Did you do the raft trip?
I do river rafting trips as my working vacation.
Oh, really?
So I'll do one trip a year. And I work as part of a crew on a commercial rafting trip.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm leaving August 31st for 17 days down the Colorado in the Grand Canyon.
So a group would go for 17 days?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. We start at Lee's Ferry and we end up at Lake Mead.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing this for several years?
Almost 30.
And you've never fallen in the water.
Oh, no, I've fallen in the water, and I have flipped a boat.
Oh, boy.
It's bound to happen.
So as a kid growing up in Phoenix, what piqued your interest in parks?
Well, my mom and dad loved the outdoors, mm-hmm. so they both immigrated from Sweden in the late 50s. And
okay.
what we did for vacations was we'd pile up in the family car, and we'd go to parks.
The old station wagon?
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Exactly. So we'd go camp and go to different parks across the western USA. And that's what got me started, mom and dad.
Yeah, I won't ask you specifically what your favorite park is, but do you have some suggestions for folks that maybe have done the big name parks?
I would say in this area, mm-hmm. go down to Tumaca Quarry. I was just there on Friday. It's mm-hmm. just about 45 minutes from the studio location.
I love it down there in the old mission.
Yeah, what a beautiful location. It's green and lush, and there's so much history there.
Yeah.
You have Saguaro National Park, east and west. I mean, there's three parks right in this near vicinity you could get up and spend the day at.
Yeah, we're very blessed to have parks very close. Marie Buck, thank you very much. Do you want to give out your website?
Absolutely. It's WNPA.org.
Western National Parks Association, WNPA.org. Thank you, Marie. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to take a break right here. Coming up next, longtime Tucson Weekly arts writer Margaret Regan will join us on our live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Be right back.
Hi, Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico would make a great upcoming weekend getaway. Or why wait for the weekend? It'd make a good midweek getaway as well. 3-hour drive east of Tucson. Beautiful time of year. With the summer rains have really greened up the Gila National Wilderness and the surrounding area around Silver City. If you've not been over there, it's about 5,000 to 7,000 foot elevation. It's going to make for cooler days and cooler nights. It's that simple. Usually it's about 10 degrees at least cooler in Silver City because of that elevation. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org for all the information you will need about your upcoming visit to Silver City. Margaret Regan has been working for the Tucson Weekly as the arts writer now for more than 30 years. It's hard to believe. Margaret is the author of two prize-winning books on immigration, still books that are in demand, even though the first one was published in 2010 called The Death of Jocelyn, Immigration Stories from the Arizona-Mexico Borderlands. And then in 2015, she had Detained and Deported, Stories of Immigrant Families Under Fire. Both of those books have been critically acclaimed. Let's join Margaret on the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Margaret, how are you?
Great. How are you, Bill?
Doing well. I know that One of your favorite artists passed away recently, the artist Bailey Dugan, and you will be writing about her in the Thursday edition of the Tucson Weekly. That piece is called Art is a Life Lived. Beloved Tucson artist Bailey Dugan has passed away.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'd like to just read some of the things I already wrote about Peggy. Because it's a whole, I have to say, her name is really Peggy. She had several names, but I knew her as Peggy. I mean, she was an artist that I really admired, and she was also a friend. So if you don't mind, I'd like to just read a little bit of what I said in my tribute.
Go ahead.
Okay. Back in 1981, Terry Etherton knew exactly what he wanted in his new art gallery. He wanted a showcase for the burgeoning medium of photography. Photography was coming close and coming into its own as a fine art, and he decided to show them exclusively. But then, in 1983, he saw the work of Bailey Dugan. It was so stunning, he threw away his rule and invited her in. Ever since, you know, she was she was famed in Tucson, but by the time she met Terry, she already had a national reputation, particularly for her challenging paintings of women. Among the works in those days was a provocative oil painting of a naked woman who replaces the risen Christ of Catholicism. You can imagine how that went out for some people. She also made a massive charcoal work that honors an Irish activist that was murdered by the British. And that painting is in the permanent collection of the Brooklyn Museum in New York. So, and as the years went on, she created more and more difficult images of women's staging bodies. Often it was about her own. But she once told me, "I deal with the real body. Our bodies are diaries of our experience. And whatever happens to us is recorded there, wrinkles, scars, and the way we stand. I think the body is beautiful." When I first met Peggy, and this was in the early 1990s, you mentioned how long I've been doing this job. Mm-hmm. That's when I first saw her art. I saw this oil painting. It was called Mea Culpa, in which a glorious nude woman appears to be dispensing the Christ-like grace. So, you know, I was raised a Catholic myself, so I got a lot of that, out of that. And when I first met Peggy, we were floored to find out that we were both born and raised in Philadelphia. We both grew up in devout Irish Catholic families, and we both were taught by nuns from the first grade all the way to the high school. We even both took Latin, but I never knew her till I was in Tucson. And she was happy that I understood the Catholic references in her art, and I was happy to see art that was so clear to my heart. So, you know, Peggy is gone, but she will be remembered. You know, she was a wonderful teacher at the U of A. I think she worked there for about 20 years, and the students loved her. And, you know, her work will go on. So that's a comfort for us, those who loved her.
So Margaret is her real first name. And so that's where the nickname comes from.
Margaret Mary Bailey. That was her name before she got married. Mm. Then she married somebody named Bailey. No, I'm sorry, Dugan. And that marriage didn't last very long, but I guess she liked that name. But then she went back. She didn't like the way her works were hanging. The names didn't seem right. So she decided to call herself Bailey Dugan. That's her two last names. I think maybe she was trying to be not exactly gendered. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but I always knew her as Peggy, and her friends knew her as Peggy. She was a lovely woman, and it's really a loss for the city.
And she died. She died recently at the age of. She died on the 4th of July at the age of 80 years old.
80.
Where can our listeners see some of her work here in town?
Oh, at the Etherton Gallery, they have lots and lots of stuff. I think. Terry told me that they had done something like 15 shows with her over the years. They have a lot of her work there. And the Museum of Art does also, Tucson Museum of Art. You could go there. I'm hoping somebody will do a whole new show of her, you know, so we can all see how great she was.
All right. In other art news, there's a gallery that you want to tell us about.
Yeah. Let me see. Raíces Taller, you know, that's one of my favorite galleries.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of for artists of color and, you know, local and regional. And it's not people that are mostly, you know, big shots, but there are a lot of great artists there. But they bring in all kinds of people in the community. And they have been closed since the beginning of the epidemic. And I'm glad to report that just last Saturday, they opened up again. That's, you know, almost 3 years, I guess, 2.5 years.
Yep.
They did a lot of shows online, but on Saturday, they decided to open, and all the people came. And I haven't been there. It was my birthday, actually, so I couldn't go to the party, I have to tell you.
Yeah, they had a party last Saturday, which was your birthday.
Yes.
You could have had a party there, but you had another party and it went.
Yeah, I had another party elsewhere. So, but anyway, I was sorry to miss the party because it had been closed for so long. And the show sounds really nice, but it's going to be going to the end of July the end of August. The two people who run the gallery, or John Salgado and Ceci, what's her last? Yeah, a husband and wife. And they've been running that place for 25 years.
Wow.
And they have bought a lot of the art that, you know, came through their passage all that time. So John says it's a must-see collection of works of the many talented artists participating in the, get this, 250 exhibitions that the gallery has hosted since its 25 years. So that'd be a really good show to see all about, you know. Yeah.
And again, the gallery is located where? And they are only open on Sunday. So could you tell our listeners, where are they?
Yeah. 6th and 6th.
6th and 6th.
Yeah. Near 4th Avenue. Yeah, there's some galleries there right along 6th Street where all the construction is, unfortunately.
All right. Only about a minute or so left. What do you have coming up in the weekly?
Yeah, well, I haven't written this story yet, but I thought it would be fun to talk about it a little bit. Everybody knows Tom Filibom, you know, the great artist of glass. And he and his wife sold the gallery about 3 years ago. And it was a young couple bought it, Allison and Dylan Harvey. And Allison had actually worked in the gallery for many years, so she was great friends with them. So, but it's really fun. I was over there to see what they have done. Tom still comes in, and he has a place to do his own work. But they have expanded the gallery, and it's all still art, you know, glass art. But now they have something like 60 artists there, and it's filled with beautiful colored glass.
Filibom Gallery is really world-renowned, the glass that Tom and his team turned out there. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he's done so much for Tucson.
Yes, he has.
Just wonderful things all these many years. And this gallery now, as it happens, was not trendy when Tom first went in there. But it's at the Five Points, you know, just out of downtown, and that place is hopping now. You know, restaurants and other galleries are coming in, so it's fun to go back down there again.
All right. Margaret Regan, thank you very much, Margaret, and we will look forward to your visit with us in September already. Oh, boy.
Already.
Where's this year gone? All right. Thanks, Margaret.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Thanks.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Bill Buckmaster with you Monday through Friday at the noon hour. Our thanks to John, engineering and producing the show, all of our guests. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you have a great afternoon.